All right.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
We have a very special guest today, Pastor DK.
Amen.
Pastor of the Harvest Center Church on Simcoe. If you've never been there, you might want to go check it out. Sunday is at 11. And I actually volunteered to introduce him because I have not met a man that has more impact in my life, even though he doesn't know it. And he always lights the fire for Jesus. Every time I talk with him, he preaches, he teaches. Just a conversation. So, Pastor DK, I love you, my friend, and I love you, my brother.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
That's gonna make me cry this morning, man.
Pack it up and leave.
That's right.
We're talking all about this.
I really appreciate those words, Job, and you guys, your brothers, who I've had the privilege to meet over time, have the same impact on my life. I'm truly honored to be a servant of God and see all that God is doing in the hearts and lives of men all around this city. It all starts with men when we get in position, and God begins to move from there. So this morning, I want to, as I was in prayer, things that are fresh that we're teaching at the ministry, and even on Tuesday nights, Tuesday mornings at Frizo's, we've been talking a lot about Nehemiah and his purpose, Nehemiah and his decision to do a hard thing for God. And this morning I said, well, I know it's Bible studies and men are eager to hear a word, and I think I want to just kind of share and flow just a little bit from my heart and from what God has established and composite in me over the last 3 weeks. Gentlemen, all of us in this room are called to do something by God.
Yes.
And the first call of God on all of our lives is not necessarily a ministry task, but that first call of God is to, as Jesus, when he called his disciples, was to follow him. He didn't call them first to say, come and preach, teach, or do something else. He said, come follow me. And oftentimes, I think and when we jump into religion or a church, we miss that moment that God is trying to seize and God is trying to close in that following process. We get so excited and so in love with God that the first thing we want to do is do something for him. But in that moment, he's trying to teach us and show us his heart, his ways, and what he wants to accomplish in the earth. So in that following period, the hope is our hearts can be won, our minds can be convinced, and our actions would follow, all right, in that following process. Now, gentlemen, I think all of us may be married here today, maybe not, or dated someone for a period of time that was a pursuit before you married your bride. You dated her, you brought her flowers, you paid for all the bills, you're still paying for the bills. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And in that pursuit time, you know, you chased after her until you won the prize of her hand. And you guys fell in love even deeper over time. Well, same thing with Jesus, as we are following him and he's exposing to us his love for us, his unconditional love for us. He's exposing to us that we matter to him. The whole Bible is written essence of God's expression and love towards all of humanity. The notion that he is in love with us, he's a desperate lover. He is his heart. If he had a weakness, it would be you and I. And from that love, he wants to build a foundation of truth established on our hearts. And then from that, he begins to establish what he put us on the earth for. And what's important to understand is that somehow in the midst of religion, list of pursuit of being successful, we kind of miss, not all of us, kind of miss the importance of our role in the earth. So Nehemiah was called to do a great thing, right? And then throughout the Bible, you see men like Job, who was called to do something great, go and repent to a city. He rejected that plan. That plan didn't go with his plan. So Job took a bus fare or a boat fare in the other direction to find himself in the whale's belly, okay? And then you see many men go to different direction in the Bible. But it's interesting about Nehemiah's heart and his decision, because that was something that actually broke his heart. And I'm convinced that in today's time, that's not many things that break our heart in this world for God. So much so that we have gotten so comfortable with sin and darkness, so comfortable with things around us not being right, that we move past it as long as it doesn't happen to us.
Yeah.
Can we pause for a minute and kind of think about this? That we have our Jesus, we have our job, we have our blessing, we have our plan. We are in motion in our lives, but nothing breaks our heart. And in this pursuit of following God, he was hoping to his disciples that while you watch me work miracles, while you watch me heal, while you watch me cast out demons, while you watch me take care of all of the people, that you would catch something. Some things are taught, some things are caught. He wanted them to catch the essence that how much he cared about his people. And he always said throughout his journey of declaring God's word, he said, I come to do the will of the Father, the one who sent me. It's not my will, but his will. And he said, when I speak not of my own, but of my Father's will. And he begins to tell them throughout the Gospels of John and Mark and Matthew how much he loves us, that he first chose us. So this whole notion that God is trying to win our hearts before winning our minds. And oftentimes we are told that, hey, just fall in love with Jesus and then it take care of itself. That is true. But if we don't wrap our mind around the strategy and the purpose of why he created us, then we have a love affair but create no multiplication in the earth. We have a hope to get to heaven while leaving a trail of nothing that God can come and get a return on.
Yeah.
Okay, let me pause on that for a minute, because I don't want you to miss that. And so the notion is that we understand that when we have his mind and his heart and we have his desire and his passion, that we can produce in the earth what God wants to produce in the earth. We have taken our salvation, and listen, I'm talking about as well as myself, has taken our salvation, have taken the gospel message, and we have now put it in a place to where it benefits me in my life. So therefore, there's no spreading, there is no building, there's no fruitfulness other than what is personal for me in my life. So I work on my fruits, I work on my attitude, I work on my action. I just want to get myself cleaned up so I can be well-pleasing. That is very admirable, but it's not the whole plan. It's part of the plan. All right? It's a start where we understand God wants to build character in us. He wants to build a great attitude, a great spirit. But sometimes we pause in that because we got so much things to work on in our life. Kind of fitting that when I walk in the door, one of my brothers, he said, Pastor, to me and my brother Andre. Let me also say, I also thank God for my dad and my brother Andre, who's been pressing his way. I'm really proud of both of them for what God is doing in their lives. So thank you, God. I want to just pause and say that. It's an honor as well. I walked through the door, and this gentleman said, Pastor DK, I got issues. And what a way to say good morning to you, brother, by the way. And I say that's perfect, because all of us have issues.
Yeah.
We just anointed with issues, man. Now, this understanding is that I have somehow taken this work, this mindset of I need to be right with the Lord. And we put a lot of pressure on ourselves being right, being holy, being upright. These things are awesome. It's not all of it, it's part of it. God wants to do something in us, through us, for us. The thing that brings his will in the earth. Now, again, the question is, what breaks your heart? One thing about having me here at the Bible Studies, thank you, Jeremy, for this opportunity, is that when I leave here, I always pray that something shifts in every man. Because what happens through routine and ritual and tradition, this can be a great social club. But no movement past this door. And so we look forward to every Wednesday without getting pregnant on this Wednesday, but today you're having a baby. Okay, nobody caught that. It's to be, that's for Tuesdays. It is to be pregnant with something that when you leave here, you're ready to give birth to what God has purposed. It's too late, Pastor. I'm too old, Pastor. I'm too deep in my career, Pastor. You don't know what I got going on, Pastor. That is your business, not God's business. if you make his business first, he will edify your business and make it what it needs to be so you can be free and not carry the burden of performance.
Come on.
And the notion that as a man, we have to be on top of things. Well, the first pursuit is to love Jesus. Second, he puts his identity inside of us. And then thirdly, he creates from us and through us what he wants to do in the earth. All right? Now, let me get on this because this is, the question is this morning, what breaks your heart? What gets you out of bed this morning? What motivates you to be better than, to be a man apart, to be separate from everybody else, to be called out? What makes you understand that I'm built for something different? I'm built for the assignment of God in my life in front of me, okay? I'm not to tackle every job, but there's a job that I should be tackling in front of me. And the first thing I want you to understand that we ought to be fighting for our family, not with our family, okay? And Jesus, as he prepared his disciples, and as he have given Adam, Eve in the garden, and when things happened, situations took place, he never talked to Eve about the problem, he talked to Adam about the problem. There's a community around us that's in collapse. There's a culture that's in collapse. There's so much drama all around us, so much negativity, so much darkness, so much things that we can easily say, well, just this is just how the world is. Well, it is true in this fallen, in this system that's ran by Satan. But God put you and I in the earth as salt and light. He put us in the earth to be the difference and to make a difference and to push for what he intended in the earth. He put something on us and gave us the gospel and the Holy Spirit that causes us to recreate God's Eden experience while living in this realm.
Yeah.
All right. Is that? I hope that's not too heavy for you guys, right? But the thing is, I know that, but I don't do that. I've heard preachers say, teachers say, I have gotten an inkling of it, but how do I apply it in my life? Because I got so much issues. Okay. In the midst of trying to discover my purpose and make that thing realize and materialize in front of me, I got health issues, drama issues, financial issues, relationship issues. I'm surrounded by so much that I can't move forward. I take one step forward and I take two steps back, right? You ever heard the saying that the enemy threw everything at me but the kitchen sink? You heard that?
Yeah.
And then when you look, here comes the kitchen sink. All right. It is the thing that fights us. It is the unfair nature of this world. But it is the same thing that God uses to prepare us for his call.
Yep.
Without adversity, we can't build and be what God has called us to be. So we welcome life challenges while walking through faith and asking God to carry us when we can't walk ourselves. Okay? All right. So I want you to see this morning. All right. Every Christian has a call of God on their life. We are designed before the foundation of the world to be his workmanship of glory, that we should bring forth his desires, Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5.
Yeah.
God has called us for service. It usually begins with a burden or a particular need that relates to the kingdom of God. All right? Now, let me stop here. If you have no burden, you have no desire, then what are we doing? Okay? If I have no burden, no desire, then what are we doing? All right, so here's the other notion in this Western culture. Don't mean to be unkind. We're just waiting to go to heaven.
All right.
Okay? I want to die so I can see him. You have no burden. That's all about you. God took care of heaven through Jesus, but gave us a work, a mandate, deposited in us spiritual gifts for the journey forward until he returned. And then we cannot make this life about getting to heaven. This life has to be about bringing heaven down here on earth. Okay? And so when there's no burden in our hearts, nothing breaks our heart. Well, Pastor, I hate sin. You should hate sin. The very smell of it, the very sign of it. You should hate it in your life. I hate sin in my life. I hate when I'm in the flesh, or maybe lust jump on me. Anybody ever have lust jump on? Thank you, one person. Had lust jump on you, right? You got maybe your temper, or I just hate it. And I don't like it in me. So I cry out towards that thing, right? But again, it's not my burden. That's my flesh problem. So the question is, what is your burden? Do you have a burden? Do you know that you need a burden? Do you know that you need something needs to break your heart for God? What is it? And you find that thing. You find that thing that you hate in the earth. And you desperately charge at that with all that you have to be an answer, to bring a solution to a problem. In the Old Testament, men had no choice. When God wanted them, he took them. Pause for a minute. Jonah didn't want to go, so God sent adversity in Jonah's life to make him go the other way. Paul didn't want to go, Saul didn't want to go until God slapped him off his horse. Hit him so hard he blinded him. Mm-hmm. Amen, somebody. That's a hard hit. Okay? Woke up with his mind right. Okay? And so on and so forth, these men who rejected God's plan, God took them. In the New Testament, God said, I'm not going to take you. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And if you open your eyes and ears to it, you're going to hear God's plan downloading on your heart. And now you can reproduce what I want because I'm writing the script from the end. And where you play in the middle of it is what you do in the time span of life from birth to death. So now this journey to the grave begins with the march of being successful and not being kingdom. So how do we reset that in our minds to say, what breaks my heart, Elder? What makes me so? For me in my life, it's the children, it is the people in my community that's dealing with great poverty and crime. That breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see people struggle, systems and cycles repeated, structures implemented, poverty continues. I found what breaks my heart, and I planted God work there. Mm-hmm. Are you following me?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm asking you the question today. I wish Pastor would just be quiet. Amen. Listen to your boy for a minute. I'm asking you the question today. What breaks your heart? What motivates you? Another thing breaks my heart is the very thought that anybody can go to hell. So therefore, I am relentless when God puts you in the crosshairs of my life to pursue you in such a way that you are convinced by the love of God. I remember I had no word for that. As far as I wasn't so astute and intellectually sound that I couldn't convince man with my words. My approach was to convince them of my knowledge of God's word. I was dead wrong in that. But what the Lord told me, hey, what you're good at may not be preaching to them, but loving them. So 15 years ago, I took on an assignment. I said, I'm going to love everybody that I see. Until now, it embedded in my heart that I didn't need words. Preach always, but if you must, use words. So now I went from less talking to more loving. And because of that, love did in me and through me what our words could have done. Men were what did Jesus do? He first loved us. He now laid his life down for us. He loved us in such a way that it was undeniable. So this breaks my heart. People going to hell, can't stand to think of it. What are you going to do about it? People in poverty and in crime in my community that I pastor in, breaks my heart. What are you going to do about it? The Lord's asking the question, what are you going to do about it? What breaks your heart? I know it's good to see our brothers every Wednesday, drink coffee, have a book study, order an omelet, eat a biscuit, gain a little weight, drink coffee. But gentlemen, while we in here enjoying each other who are saved, there are millions out there in our city and community who are not saved. And if we're not careful, we build a monument of this, but have no movement out there. Until what's out there looks like this. So we invite people in our daily journey in the earth to make disciples of men and convince them of God's love. Not your knowledge of scripture, God's love through you operating in a public display. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Again, the question is, what burdens your heart? What breaks your heart? I think some of your light bulbs or minds are thinking, this breaks my heart. And That is the thing God has put on you to do in the earth. The goal is, or the question is, are you going to do it? Now, let me give you another side of this, and I don't know how much time I got, Jeremy. I got one more paragraph.
10 more minutes.
I got 10 more minutes? Okay, I do it in three.
Keep going.
I'm just joking, man.
None of us believe that. Don't
yeah, yeah. Man. I see it when I believe it, brother.
Yeah.
Another thing that's I think it's important to understand, gentlemen, is that, you know, God has called us in different areas of our lives. And I mentioned it yesterday. Everything from carpenters to mechanics to business owners to investors to whatever you do for a living, that is the area where God wants you to invade. That is where God wants you to advance the kingdom. I use two words, invade and advance. Okay? Well, on my job, you can't preach the gospel. They fire you in this culture. Understand? We'll love everybody in that room, in that place, in that space, until they know that's God and not you. Right? So we are called to influence spheres, education, political realm, business realm, medical realm, sports arena. He puts us agents everywhere so we can be the salt and the light. But if we don't know that we are there for his purpose and not our own purpose, we make it about our career, our agenda, our salary, our accomplishment more than God's building and God's desire, God's program. We make it more about what we can gain versus what he can gain. And what does he desire? He wants to see everybody saved.
Amen. All right?
Now, important to consider that. Since Joel made me cry before I got started, I had to get my emotions together, so I blame him for the first 5 minutes. Now, after salvation, a Christian further grows in the virtue and the service of God in works. A true maturing process confirms his calling. Okay, I want to close with that. Okay, how do I know I'm growing in God? Well, in this culture, oftentimes we would say the most scripture we know tells me that I'm growing in God. Let me argue for a minute with you. Can I argue for a second?
Yeah.
All right. In this culture, we would say, well, I'm now serving in a local church doing something. I'm growing in God. Okay. What tells the world that you are growing in God, not only the love, but the maturing of your faith that reveals God's calling being openly exemplified in the earth. I'm growing in God because what he called me to do is manifesting wherever I go. And I'm now maturing as a believer because as I travel throughout this world from death to life, it is all about God and everything that I do. And now I am moving from faith to faith, from glory to glory, because there's an essence of God expanding through me as I travel throughout the earth.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we do a great job of talking. Don't we talk a lot? Don't we talk? Don't we talk? Come on, we be chat. Don't we? We be trying to convince the people that we know something. But the fruit is in the works. The fruit is in the manifestation of, is God blessing that? Is it blooming for God? Does it smell like him? It may sound like him, but it doesn't carry the essence of him. Right? And so the religious man talks to where he sounds good, but doesn't carry the essence of him.
Yeah.
Doesn't carry that God gene of him. Doesn't expand his kingdom. So when he walks into something, whatever's dead come to life. I'm closing. Yeah. So this burden that breaks our heart, gentlemen, it's the very first thing God is calling us to fix in our lives, in this world, while working on yourself always. Working on yourself always. I have a task in the earth, and God is coming asking the question, what do you have for what I gave you? I need a return on that investment. He's going to ask that question. The parable of the talent. I gave 1 5, 1 2, another guy 1. The father comes back, what do you have for me? The guy who had 5 more, multiplied, 2 more, multiplied, 1, buried it in the earth. God called him wicked, slothful, and lazy, and cast him into the outer darkness. Because he took what he had, and because he had the wrong perception of God, and put it in the banks, and did nothing with it. The question is, what are you doing with what God has given you in the earth?
Yeah, what are you doing with God?
What are you doing to multiply that? What are you doing for you to show God that you're faithful and a good steward over the gifts he deposited in you? That's my message to you gentlemen today, and I was challenged to kind of change it a little bit. I feel that, you know, maybe Jeremy can encourage you guys to do a book study in the Nehemiah, chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. It has a kingdom strategy and purpose that we're dealing with in this current time, of how Nehemiah was faced with economical culture collapse and so much disparity of his people that was in ruin. Let us pray here this morning. Father, we thank you today. Lord, so much that we desire that every Wednesday not be the same. But the hope is that something can be deposited in our hearts that we can find the burden of what breaks your heart. God, would you help us not ignore that? Would you help us not to just go on and just live our life daily and just appease our vision and our goal? Could you help us find purpose? Help us to realize that we are sent here to do a God thing in the earth. Lord, would you open the eyes of my brothers today to take on the God call, the God assignment. And God, let us know that we don't have to do it in our strength, that you're going to empower us through the Holy Spirit. God, also forgive us, Lord, for being so lazy with our gifts. God, for keeping things up for ourselves. Forgive us, God, for not eagerly running into your purpose and magnify and maximizing the time you have given us so we may do your will in the earth. Reset our minds, redirect our paths, cause us to be fruitful and faithful. And God, would you show every man the purpose of why you created them? We ask this now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You guys are DJing your prayers in the Lakers, man.